You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 and 96.5 FM WISS. And, of course, the Civic Media app coming your way from Oshkosh, Appleton, and Green Bay. And I got to tell you, I just ran out of here to go grab my phone that I'd left. It is nasty, icky out there. It is raining sleet. It is icky. That's a meteorological term. Yeah, it is very icky out there. Yes, we'll go fishing.
It kind of is. I mean, it's a little sleet. A little snow and
crappy. Yeah. This week is Invest in Veterans Week. And joining us right now, one of my favorite veterans of all time, Will Koken. Will, how you doing, my brother?
I would be doing better if it wasn't for this weather you were just talking about.
Isn't it?
I think that's the same way as everybody.
It is just nasty. Did you have to drive today to where you work?
I did. We were actually talking about this yesterday, and I was like, if people want a vacation in Wisconsin, this is an experience all of Wisconsin. I was like, this is the type of week they should show up for, because they get all four seasons of Wisconsin packed into like 3 days.
Isn't that crazy? 55 in a couple of days? Unreal. Well, Will, tell everybody what your history is in the military, which continues in very admirable fashion.
Yeah, so I have about 22 years of total service, with 18 of those on the active duty side. And then I've also founded and continue to be involved in what is now HUA Wisconsin, which stands for Helping Out Our American Heroes. It's a nonprofit that spans across all of Wisconsin.
Outstanding. And when we talk about this Invest in Veterans Week, how can we, I mean, you're still in the military. You help these young military personnel, soldiers all the time. What can we do to invest in veterans?
Yeah, so there's as you know, firsthand with everything you've done as well, there is a ton of ways to do that. It's not just when you think of invest, it's not just investing financially, which is a mechanism to do so. But it's more important is investing your time. And that is, you know, simply reaching out to veterans, seeing how they're doing, things that you could potentially do for them and or for the community as a whole. But really, it just comes down to a small sacrifice of your time of just picking up the phone this week or ideally every day this week and calling a veteran that you know, as most of us are connected to them, or finding a veteran. It's not that hard to find them. And just spending some time getting to know them and seeing how life is at this current time. That's the best way to really invest in a veteran and in their mental health.
I think that's great advice in that it doesn't really cost you dollars. And even if it's someone that might be a neighbor that you don't know them real well, they still like, people like good conversation, and they're all going to ask about you as well. But you know, if there's someone they haven't seen for a while, or an uncle that's been, you haven't seen them for a couple of years, just pick up the phone and call them this week. This is a good week to, like you said, reach out and get something going.
Yeah. It's such a small and simple thing to do, yet all too often we don't make that small sacrifice of time, and everybody wants to tell their story. So I just recommend being just a great listener in that opportunity and allowing them to share what they have going on or what their current story is.
You know, we had somebody on here a week or so ago, Will, talking about, obviously we talked about the suicide issue with veterans. And they said, you'd be shocked at how it might sound like, well, what else can we do besides calling them? And then they said, you'd be shocked how big of a part that can play. Because there are some people, we had, I know who it was, buddy, but, you know, who was at the verge of, okay, do I pull the trigger or not?
Yeah.
And to the point, and that phone call could be the difference. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We see it all the time of, like, they're reaching out as their last call to connect to somebody. And a lot of times they're doing that via a simple phone call. To say goodbye without saying goodbye. And it's just because they want that connection. And if you're doing it the opposite way, where you're reaching out to them, it's showing that you care and you're there to listen and hear what they have going on. And it goes so far. It's uncomprehendable the effects it has on individuals who are at that point in life, unless you've been at that point in your life.
And to even take it not a step further, but the eye-to-eye contact or visit, McDonald's, isn't it free coffee for veterans at McDonald's? Is it?
I don't know. Is it, Will?
I have no idea. I will have to test that.
Well, maybe, okay, the one on Main Street, I used to go there with Larry. I had a veteran of mine. I always had to pay for mine. I don't remember him paying for his. Anyway, just a cup of coffee. I mean, what is it? A couple bucks. But I'm just saying that to call him on the phone is great, but maybe to meet for coffee at McDonald's or Julie's or something, you know?
Absolutely.
Face-to-face is always better. I personally find that people just aren't generally willing to give that much time unless they're more connected to the individual. And that's why I recommend the phone call is the super simple answer. But if you can get face-to-face, that is always... always the best thing, and that is even more encouraged this week towards veterans or any week, really. But if you can achieve that is, and you've got the time to do that, that is even more critical and important.
Worth Will Kokin, president of Hoo-Ah, Wisconsin. One thing, Will, that I just read, again, it's on the internet, but it's true, about a horrible thing happening with suicide rates with Marine recruiters. Have you seen or read anything about this? I was shocked in reading it. In one group, at one base, they had four of them committed suicide. They were all Marine recruiters. Do you know anything about this, Will?
I do not. Okay. This is the first I'm hearing that, but that is that's extremely, first of all, that's extremely sad.
Yeah.
And also surprising that it was all out of the same region. Which makes me wonder of what was all going on there.
Right.
But I know recruiting is a very, very tough world. And it's one of the only places in the military that are super heavy metrics based, where everything revolves around, did you get a guy in or not? And so I look at our recruiting teams and I can see the stress that they're under constantly to try and achieve numbers. And it's a tough thing to see these guys just grinding, but it's also part of our job.
Yeah,
we have to have people in boots serving this country to continue to defend it as a free nation.
And any events, Will, that that breakfast, John and I want to host a breakfast here. That,
yes. Okay, let's talk about that.
Okay,
a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm good friends with folks that do Vets and Friends in Appleton, Will.
Yep.
It's a free breakfast on Thursday or Friday mornings. I can't remember now, in Appleton. And then they used to do one on Saturdays as well. But they contacted me the other day and they said, John, we heard you were thinking about trying to do something like that up in Green Bay. And I said, well, not every week, but maybe once a month, starting next month. They said, absolutely. So Jim's facility.
I have to get permission.
No, no.
But yeah,
it would be ideal.
There's great parking. We have an awesome, unbelievable kitchen.
Awesome.
Yeah,
and it would be free breakfast for the veterans once a month. I think that'd be awesome, don't you?
I agree, it would be awesome. That has happened a few times, and there's just never been a leader to keep it consistent.
Yeah.
And every time it's had a solid turnout and just tons of smiles and people reconnecting. It's always funny when you walk in a room and as soon as a guy says, like, I'm a veteran, and you're like, oh, I'm a veteran. Yeah. And then it's just like cluck, 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 right? And they're just constantly sharing their stories for the next 45 minutes. That's what you see and experience at those breakfast things, is that, like, just a bunch of people, and it could be a Vietnam vet with a modern Iraq Afghanistan vet.
We're just
having a great time sharing stories.
One guy who was 101 years old. He was a B-24 gunner in World War II on unbelievable raids, sitting on earth about a 22-year-old, Afghanistan-type vet. That, to me, is like, oh, man, you talked about
awesome.
Capture this moment in time. World War II veteran, 100 years old, and this young, in his 20s, Afghanistan vet.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's one of the coolest things I see. They still have similar stories, and it's just awesome to watch both of those individuals just smile and laugh and tell stories about the same experiences that they shared in the military.
Outstanding.
And that I just want to go back to this Veterans Week, and I think we think about things a lot. Well, this is the week to do it, right? And when you talk about reaching out and grabbing
to do it.
Grabbing that cup of coffee, I did I wasn't right. Sorry about the, I don't throttle back on the McDonald's thing. Whataburger offers free coffee to veterans and active military duty every day. These other places that do, they're not really in Green Bay. Do we have a Casey's in Green Bay?
Never heard of it.
No.
Do we have a Whataburger?
We do have Casey's in Oshkosh.
Okay. Oh, really? Yeah. Right.
Yep. So Casey's offers free coffee, potent drinks to veterans year-round.
Yep.
So Casey's is pretty popular. I mean, they're in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Well, obviously they're in Oshkosh.
Is it a hamburger-type place?
No, it's like a convenience gas station.
It's kind of a 7-Eleven, but, maybe a little.
Okay, cool.
But these other ones, I don't,
We don't have a Whataburger, do we?
No. Yeah, we do.
We did over at the mall.
I thought it was closed.
I think it closed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dang.
I think we had one in the downtown mall, which was really cool.
No, then, it was not in the, that was Wahlburger that was in the mall.
No, that mall was McDonald's. I was like, I've seen two McDonald's close in my life.
Oh, my God.
Johnson, well, you should have saved the mall. I had two McDonald's close in my life. One was in Philly. I went out there with a friend of mine, burned out cars. It's just, and then I saw a closed McDonald's. The other one I saw was Green Bay, Wisconsin, the downtown mall. Mm. So that just tells you how that how well that mall was doing when I closed it. John's like, "Why you should have done that?"
Maybe if it had some support from the mayor's office. I'd still be eating my big cookie and my orange Julius. Yeah,
you couldn't buy enough Big Macs to keep that open.
All right. So, Will, what's the state of the military right now?
I think pretty good, but that's just my opinion from the purview that I have. Here in the Wisconsin National Guard, but we personally, from my organization, have a ton of motivated individuals that are excited to do their different jobs in the military, and it's great to see. There's a ton of good camaraderie. We've been really focused the last few years on this building the team approach or building this camaraderie and making sure that everybody feels like they're a significant part of the organization, and you can see it paying off in the culture. So I think when you look at the levels that you're able to see personally, I think it's very strong.
And our country, support-wise?
Yeah, there's not a place I go when I'm in uniform that somebody doesn't thank me for my service. Especially in our community. Our community, I think, is like the greatest group of military supporters I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
You look at what organizations like Old Glory Honor Flight, when they land a plane, that Appleton Airport is slam-packed with people. And I look at, like, when we host the Ruck, the KI can barely fit people inside of its doors. It's so busy. And so I think that the support in our local community for veterans is just astronomical. As far as countrywide, I'm not everywhere, so I can't speak to it with any sort of education, but I can say the places that I travel and the areas that I choose to live and reside and visit frequently.
That's great to hear.
There's a ton of military support. Yeah.
And a shout out to the schools too. The University of Wisconsin Green Bay does a big outreach program and at NWTC. Yep. So you're right. The community here is very engaged and rightfully so.
Will Koken, you're the best. Fourth UWA. Thanks for what you do, my brother, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for your service, sir.
Thank you, guys.
You're the best, Will. We got to set a quick break at 8:34. Tony Giese, Heritage Auctions. Extremely interesting.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Talk about things to come. Sweet dreams and wonder why we have weight issues now.
Right.
We're sitting here during the break talking about fast food places.
We're talking about, the free coffee for veterans, and Casey's does it. There's quite a few places that do it on Mondays. I don't want to get into that list. And then I think there's some people, like Nick said, kind of under the radar that just do it because they're a great, great place. Maybe they don't want to put it on the internet, but and we're talking about there's a McDonald's that some of us go to, and then we started expanding it. And Nick, who lost 29 pounds and looks great, said, I haven't been to a fast food place in this place.
I think
place
you could have just stopped it. Nick lost 29 pounds.
Yeah.
You want to hear what we're talking about?
No, I'm not sure he looks great.
Oh,
no. Everybody tells me I have a face for radio. Hey,
yeah.
Welcome to the club, my friend.
So we're talking about your favorite fast food restaurant, and Johnny likes, fish burgers at McDonald's. Well, a long time ago, it was 25 years ago, I guess, my business was over on the west side, and my brother and I, we would go to Whopper Wednesday every Wednesday, I think for like a year. They were 99 cents, give them $5, and we each got two, and it was great. But you said we're paying for it now.
That's what you used to be able to get lots of food, cheap.
Right. We would, well, when I lived in Crivitz, we would come down like Supply Run, or if we had to go to Sam's or Menards or whatever, we would come down on Wednesdays for Whopper Wednesday.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yep. That's Wednesday, we're going to Green Bay.
Yep. It's not like they throttled back on the ingredients or anything. It was like,
it was the whole deal. Yeah.
And then a lot of places did the fish that you liked on Fridays for 99 cents. Fish
yeah,
Friday.
That's right.
But yeah, those
You're showing your age, Jim.
I know.
I don't care. But what I'm saying is,
we're paying.
I mean, it was hard to lose weight. And I didn't have a weight problem then. You know, you're jogging.
That's just it. We didn't have weight problems.
Because it's like, well, we were young in our motels.
Why not?
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, there was now, I would literally get on the scale like afterwards and say, oh man, how am I going to walk this off? I'm going to do whatever. Back then,
now we got to go to
anything.
Fresh time. What do you want the base? Lettuce or spinach? It's like,
when does that happen? When does your metabolism, like, just...
In your 30s, 50. Don't you think?
It's a little bit later than that.
No,
I think
for men,
40.
For men, like, in their 30s, it tanks.
Late 30s is when it starts.
Yeah.
Then you take your 40s.
I was all right in my 30s.
No, you weren't.
Yeah, I kind of was. No, I thought it was 40s.
But you say you were.
Well, you know what? Okay, talking about...
she's listening.
You know where I used to go all the time? I bet... Like, you're saying, like, once a week. I'll tell you a place I went once a week probably for 5 years. Bunch of lunch at Shakey's.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Shakey's.
You know what? I'm surprised I didn't see you there. Yeah.
Wasn't that great?
It wasn't once a week, but that was great.
Yeah, oh, man. Shakey's.
Roasted chicken.
Yeah. Yes!
Yeah.
Yes.
Pizza.
Yeah.
And then the BLT pizza and the taco pizza where no one else was doing those.
Yeah. But now those... buffets are
Happy
not
Joe's.
Cheap anymore.
No,
Happy
the
Joe's has the taco.
That's the only place I think that has it now.
Yeah, they have a salad bar there.
Yeah.
No, you don't. You go right to the pasta. You don't hit no salad bar there.
Well, but there is a pasta. There's a salad bar at Happy Joe's is what I'm saying.
But you don't hit it.
Yeah, no, I look at it.
I love salad bars. A good salad bar, I could just eat off of that all night.
They have that as an option. Yeah. But then you get it with your meal, it's like $2 or else it's like, you know.
When we're talking about going to places, I mentioned that place during our break. Has anybody actually been? I've only heard about how fantastic it is. Has anybody been to the brunch at the Altona Club in Chilton? Have you actually been there for it?
I've been to that.
Okay.
But yes, I was. I was at the brunch on, yes, I was. I've been at the brunch. And Altona is a buffet place, and they bring out, and it's
old school.
It's old, but the guy who runs it, and they got a great bar when you walk in. I mean, it's you talk about your Bloody Marys and screwdrivers. It's run by like some they got a lot of kids that come there from the schools, and boy, do they work. They turn those tables so fast, and the food is hot, and it's not that expensive.
Like, but I've heard
is it buffet or is it family style?
It's all buffet.
Buffet, but isn't it brunch?
Well, it's all, they have dinner
or is it all the time.
All the time.
Oh, okay. It was Sunday brunch only.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no, they have Wednesday is like the beef, so it's like they have beef tips and different things.
I got a text here. You got to check out the Colonial House in Freedom.
Yep.
I don't know that one.
They have
the best Friday.
And Saturday. Oh yeah, fish. Their seafood buffet.
They have seafood. And
really?
They have
lobster. They don't have lobster. They have lobster.
Poor man lobster.
No, they have lobster claws.
Oh.
They have crab legs.
They have crab legs that are like, they hit this microphone.
Really?
Which is so stacked up there. The other thing I like about that, they have great desserts over there, but the other thing, they have prime rib too.
Yep.
On that night. And that is a fun place to go. You want to go to a good buffet, and that's something that they should lean into for the draft, because that's a cool,
Friday
cool place.
Friday and Saturday.
I just want to say their bar is the
their
bar.
Their bar is big.
It's mafia bar. It's red.
Yeah.
It's got that, right?
All red. Yep.
All
There's
red.
A fireplace. Oh, yeah.
I gotta go to this place.
That is a great, great place.
But,
and great parking. They got to see a parking.
Colonial House in Freedom.
Yes, but you can don't walk in there.
Don't walk in there.
In other words, get reservations and get reservations.
Oh, God, don't walk in.
Yeah, I don't know that they take reservations, though. Do they take them all the time?
Yes. On Friday, well, for Fridays and Saturdays, they do. So if you're going there on a Friday or Saturday, try to get a reservation by, like, Wednesday, Thursday morning.
Oh, wow.
Because otherwise you're eating it right when it closes.
Okay, is it an old wives' tale or is this legit with supper clubs, okay? They would, like, intentionally not have your food coming.
Does she drink?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if that's up.
Long time ago, yes.
No. That could be happening today. There are restaurants too. Don't just say it's supper clubs. There's some restaurants you sit down where your table's not ready and you look in and it's like, what do you mean the table's not ready? But two more drinks can bring in another, you know, if you have six people.
So that is
true. Yes. So back in the day up in Crivitz, Peshtigo River Resort used to have all you can eat shrimp on Tuesdays.
Ooh.
And they had fried or boiled, steamed, whatever, all you can eat. And if you went there right when they opened at 3:30 or 4 o'clock, if you went there at 3:30, 4 o'clock, there would be nobody in there. And you'd say, hey, we're here for the all-you-can-eat shrimp. Bill Sr., Bill Kowalski Sr., would say, all right, it's a 45-minute wait.
He would know that, huh?
Nobody's in there. You're the first one in the door. It's a 45-minute wait.
Funny.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That's where the old fashions get going, though.
But we got a thing here. Mino, let us know more about the Breakfast for Veterans. I'm in for $100 to support that.
Wow.
Scotty B. Thank you, Scotty B. That's awesome.
We got to work on that.
Yeah, because we got to do some fundraising. That's where we're not going to do it this month. We're going to do it next month. And it doesn't have to be at the end of the month, maybe the middle of the month. I don't know, whenever. But we're going to do it.
We're going to do it.
We're going to do it. Maybe we have it at your place.
Yeah, no. I don't think it'll be at my place.
We'll find a place if we can't do it.
I'm not, okay.
You know what? I guarantee you, like Duck Creek VFW,
all right,
where we have the Veterans Day thing. That would be, maybe we'll just plan on that even. Okay. That's awesome. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, Tony Giese, originally from Coleman, worked for Heritage Auctions, the leading auction house, other than like Sotheby's or who are some of those?
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
But this is awesome when it comes to sports stuff. Wait till you hear about some of the stuff they've got
this
there.
This will be fun.
Great guy. We're going to be talking to him next.
I knew we'd never meet again. Love is like dying ember, and only...
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor, along with Cheese Curd Nick filling in today. Tony Giese has the greatest job in American history. And he won't hire me as his guy to help out finding cool stuff.
We are very lucky here. I will say that. I love my job. We get to deal with sports memorabilia on a daily basis, get to do shows, still write auctions. So, I feel very, very fortunate working here and doing what I do. And, you know, the funny thing was when I was going to college, I never thought of this as being a job. I never knew that it existed. I'll never forget, I was in college at UW Green Bay, went to the 1999 National Sports Convention, the biggest show I had ever been to in my life. It was in Chicago, but I never put two and two together and thought of doing this as a job. I didn't know that it even existed. So, yeah, very, very fortunate.
I want to talk a little bit about that because, I mean, you aligned yourself with the right place. I mean, you look at I just Googled the top five auction houses in the United States, and you're up there. And which is great. I mean, well, everybody, Christie's, Sotheby's, and people know that, but this is great. Tell me a little bit more about your career path to getting there.
From Coleman to this.
From Coleman to, that's a great question, by the way. So I was working up in Escanaba, Michigan at the newspaper up there for Denny Grawl.
Go Eskimos!
Oh, I loved it up there. I gained about 15 pounds because the food was so good.
Oh my God, but Tony, wait a minute though. Did you hear it burnt down about a month ago?
What?
The most
Daily Press did?
No, I'll tell you what burnt down is the restaurant, the Stonehouse.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was one of the oldest restaurants in Michigan, I think. Legendary, and it burnt to the ground.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Yeah, I mean, the nicest people up there.
Yeah.
Great community, Escanaba, Gladstone, Rapid River, Bark River, Harris. I mean, it was Kearney Nato. Great, great place to start my career. Worked for Denny Grawl at the Daily Press. Then I worked in Marinette for a few years at the Eagle Herald. I was 27 years old. My good friend, who also works at Heritage, there was a company out in Las Vegas that was looking to hire writers. And wasn't married, didn't have any kids or anything. I'm like, you know what? If I don't like it, I'll move back home. Broke my mom's heart. Her youngest is going out to Las Vegas of all places.
I sort of give you, we have some students that kind of listen to us and watch us. That's good advice.
Yeah.
Take the risk. You don't have kids. You don't have a huge financial obligation.
Yep.
Do it then. So 27 years old, you got on a plane out to Vegas.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, and the whole thing is, you know what? You don't want to look back someday, 10 years down the line, and say, why didn't I do it? Why didn't I try it? And I figured if I didn't like it, I could move back home. I loved it. When I first started, it was writing auctions. So I knew Packer stuff well, but I didn't necessarily know some of the archaic, some of the Hall of Famers, some of the old baseball Hall of Famers. But you live it, breathe it, literally 24/7 every single day of your life. You learn things. You learn prices. I used to study catalogs, study prices, and it kind of sinks in after a while. And you see these autographs daily of some of these. You know, you could Mickey Mantle. I will never forget when I first started working in this hobby, in this industry, I had a guy tell me, you'll be sick of seeing Mickey Mantle autographs in 6 months. I still enjoy it.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, and you just keep learning. Now I do a lot of shows. I do a lot of traveling, picking up consignments. And there's never a dull day at work. There's always work to do, but it's fun work for me.
What are some of the amazing items you got? Because I love your catalog. Your catalog is like the old Christmas catalogs we used to get when we were kids.
Seriously.
And you're so excited going through it. And that's what your catalog is like.
Tony, we're going to give you two questions. Johnny just asked you what are some of the most unique, impressive things you found. My question is, can you buy them first?
I can't buy them first. I wish I could. There's a lot of times, especially with some of the Packer stuff that I collect. I wish I could, but no. It goes to Heritage. If I had one instance where somebody, I collect coaches, which is a weird, it's kind of a weird thing to collect. And I did ask my boss if I could buy a certain coach's polo shirt. And he, of course, said yes. And thanks for asking. But no, it all goes to Heritage. The one that really resonated with me to this day, it was about 7-8 years ago, and I don't know if your listeners may not know this name, but the first real NFL commissioner was Joe Carr. Jim Thorpe had the title, I think, for 1 year, and then Joe Carr took it over. He was from Ohio, and I had a junk collector call me who had Joe Carr's scrapbook. And I, at first I'm like, okay, well, how do I know this guy's actually real? And they sent photos. They sent photos of some of these, of the earliest NFL championship tickets and these great press passes from like the early 20s up till up till he died in, I think, 39. But some of these have never been offered before. But he had these beautiful 8x10 photos made out to Joe Carr. So there's a George Halas, who is a good autograph, but there were two, Tim Maras, who was the founder of the New York Giant football team, and he is almost an impossible signature. So this guy was a junk collector, didn't have a car. He rode around the neighborhood, and somebody was bringing up the trash, and they had this beautiful scrapbook with the earliest NFL championship tickets I had ever seen. Many of them, there's never been another one unearthed, and it was like opening up a time capsule. And I think at the end it was about $200,000, $220,000 for everything. But what it did is it gave the collecting world some of these tickets and some of these autographs of a very important NFL figure, some of the earliest NFL figures that would not be out there. So that one was always kind of fun to me. It's fun seeing the player collections. I know we did Al Kaline, and his family was exceptional. We did Brooks Robinson. His family was exceptional. So a lot of times you don't get to deal with the athlete. You deal with the family.
Right. Yep.
But it's a fun job, and I love going out there on consignment pickups and meeting just collectors. And some of these guys they've been buying for 30, 40 years. I have some guys that they stopped buying in the early 90s and they haven't bought anything since, but they have a 7-figure game-worn jersey collection. So, I mean, you just never know what that next phone call is going to be.
We're Tony Giese, originally from Green Bay, Coleman area. Heritage Auction has a great job. He's trying to hire me. We got him on the air here. I got to ask you one quick thing. Just popped my mind, though, Tony. Has anybody ever found, we were talking about this just the other day on the show, has anybody ever uncovered one of those Acme Packer jerseys?
There has, to my knowledge, one has never been found.
What would
now,
it be worth?
The Packers had a couple fires through the years, but I've never heard of one. And if one ever did come out, I mean, it would be $250,000. It would have to be.
Wow. Hey, Tony,
Tony,
there's so much noise out there. How do you vet the frauds? Because you read about these things, and people will swear by it, and And some of the, you look at some of this technology out there.
No, that's a great
incredible
point.
Incredible what they can do for signatures and the authenticity. Because I talked to a friend of a friend who does the road show. And there's a lot of people that come up there and say stuff. It's like, we looked into this.
So how
do you filter the frauds?
Yeah, it's getting tougher and tougher now. Now they can literally tattoo a baseball, and it makes it look like it's live ink, and they can age a baseball a little bit better now. And the autographs look great, but we bring in these authentication companies, PSA DNA and Beckett Authentication, and what will happen is if there's any that are really – you know, some of the really high-end ones, they'll put them under. They have a special machine that they put them under that they can – make sure that it's live ink, that it was from the period, and there's a lot of things that we can look for ourselves that we can, a lot of times on some of these we'll say, well, yeah, there's no chance on that. Like Michael Jordan's one that, unfortunately, there's so many bad Jordans out there, and even the company that he signed for, it's some of that stuff is kind of skeptical sometimes. So we bring in authenticators. But one of the things that's really happened now, especially with game-worn jerseys, and we had it happen. We had a 57 Paul Hornung game-worn Packer rookie jersey that we just sold for a record price. And
how much? What's the price? What's the price?
$103,700.
Wow.
And it was a black jersey that we all thought was Midnight Navy for. I mean, everybody thought it was. And part of the back five was peeling away.
I seen that on some pictures. That was insane.
Wow. Yeah. Which was, because I think we had a Jim Ringo before, but even then you couldn't really tell. But with that five being peeled away, you could tell that it was actually black. But on that jersey, what they did is they can photo match now. Within the last probably 5 to 7 years, there's photo match companies that'll literally take a high resolution photo, zoom in on it, and they can find a certain thread or mesh holes it's almost like a fingerprint now. So that's helped us in the game-worn jersey market. Items that'll photo match, of course, go for much, much more than if they're not photo matched. So, but with football jerseys, team repairs, hit marks, scuff marks, there's a lot of areas of that you can kind of try to find out on that.
Would it be a crime if somebody said they had, something, and that scientific technology showed that it was a fraud? Is that a crime?
With us, we simply just send it back. Through the years, there's been some guys that have forged uniforms and done a fairly good job at it. But there's certain things. Doing this for 20 years, there's certain things it's almost impossible to forge. Especially in some of these baseball jerseys that, they would wear them for 6 months or not 6 months, they'd wear them for like 3 months. And the puckering and the wash wear and just the scuffing, there's certain things. Yeah. Football is one that's a little, I'm not saying it's easier, but it's much more telltale. If there's scuff marks in the stomach area, that doesn't make sense, because on a football jersey, most of the punishment's going to be in the shoulder area. That's what you look for. Or even some of the quarterback jerseys. Usually they don't show a ton of wear because, they don't take as much. As they used to, and they wash them after the game. So it's gotten a little better with technology, but it is on the autographs. You got to be real careful, because if it's too good to be true, it probably is. And
you can be like that coffee bean guy and say, we authenticate stuff, and he sold it to someone else.
So I got one for you. So about 25, I don't know. It's been a while. You brought up Michael Jordan. So I purchased and sold a Michael Jordan wingspan picture with autograph. What are those worth nowadays?
Those are about $5,000 to $7,000.
Yeah. Wow. I bought it for like $850 at an auction. It was actually like a business closing. The owner was selling everything because he went bankrupt. And then I turned around and sold it for like $1,900.
That's a good profit, though. Yeah. That's a
But this was like 25 years ago.
Tony, what are some of the things around Green Bay, if people are digging through their back attic, whatever, someplace, and they come upon this case and, wow, look what's in this, and they give you a call. What are some things you just go to bed hoping you'll get that call for?
You know, one of the things that people will have that they and if they do the research on it can be very valuable are ticket stubs and full tickets. They don't print tickets anymore, making it very difficult to get hard tickets now. But a lot of people would keep their ticket stubs, and you know, with some of these championship games and full tickets to some of these championship games can get into the thousands. I would look for programs. I would look for ticket stubs. Autographs obviously carry some pretty good value. Original photography, you can still find it here and there out there. That kind of thing has great value. My thing, what I would tell people is, here's the best advice. If PSA grades it, which they grade tickets, they encapsulate photos now, then it can have some really good value. They are going to start doing programs at some point here in the next, I heard, the next year. So that's what I would be looking out for. Bobbleheads, some of the early bobbleheads carry pretty good values. Even some of the capes. You know, I was at a game, man, I think it was against the Steelers in December, and there was a guy who had one of the 50s capes on. The Midnight Navy and the yellow capes on. And I slept him. I said, hey, sir, I said, you know what that's worth, right? Because they're worth about $6,000 to $8,000. He goes, yeah, I love going ice fishing in it. It keeps me warm. And so you never know what someone's going to have. And the Packers actually, in the early 90s, I've heard, sold those capes for $6 a piece.
Somebody you might be talking to right now might have bought one.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, Tony's one of the few guys where you want him
to... We got to set a real quick break. Stay with us, Tony.
All right. Everything
was so grand. You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mayor, along with Cheese Curd Nick. We had Tony Giese, Heritage Auctions, on the horn. Tony, we were talking during the break here about some of the things that I've seen over the years that have really gone up in value. And this is something that somebody might have just by chance laying around. But Vince Lombardi signed paychecks have gotten valuable, haven't they?
They have. They average probably about 800 to 1,000, and they are real. Trust me, they authenticate them. He did sign those checks. And, you know, the ones that get the premiums, of course, are the ones that are made out to players or, you know, there's Jack Vinicius, the one that I collect. You know, one's made up to him. You know, it can get up to like 1,500. But some of the ones like to Star, Jimmy Taylor, Nitschke, you know, those you could be in the $2,000, $2,500 range on. But in the majority of the Lombardis you see, the Packer payroll checks at least are almost always 1959 to like 5960. There was a find of Lombardi's personal checks that came out about 5 years ago, but those have been absorbed throughout the hobby. And, you know, there were a couple hundred of those maybe. Maybe about 150 of those, but they were all made out in his hand. So, yeah, Lombardi is, of course, he died so young, and people didn't ask as much for autographs back then, and the check is a good way to get a nice autograph of him. And the ones from the Packers are always early in his tenure there.
Tony, did you guys handle that Vince Lombardi West Point sweater that's a guy found
we
at like
did. That was one of the interesting finds that I've ever had. I get a call from a guy who was not even a sports collector at all. He was a picker who went to, it was Tennessee. It was a...
what's a used clothing store? I don't know.
It was Goodwill.
Yeah. Okay.
It's that one, yeah. And he paid 68 cents, and I said, well, there's your media right there, 68 cents. And I said, well, he didn't realize what he had, and there was the HBO special on Lombardi came out, and he was talking to his wife, he goes, hey, I have that kind of sweater. Well, he didn't realize it until he opened it up, and it says Lombardi-46 on it. So that might have been the size of it. And then he called us up, and for some reason, don't ask me why, he called the Dan Patrick Show. and they wouldn't respond to him. I don't know why he'd call the Dan Patrick show, but he did. And then he called us, and I said, well, you know what, on a good day, I think it could get 15,000. We have to make sure it's real and all that. And it was, but the media that it gave us was so good that we donated our end to Goodwill. And the person who donated it came forward, and it was a positive for everybody. It went for 45,000.
Wow.
And
wow.
Yeah, it was a special, special
piece. I would have said, my wife put it in there. She wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Yeah, exactly. If somebody saw that then? Yeah, you're right.
You know, I was thinking when you were talking about authenticating things, and I want you to tell me, is there a cost to authenticating it? But if it does come back, you're the only company I know that when you go to your wife and say, look, I got a really high PSA, she would like it.
That's actually, I love it.
Give him a belt, huh?
I love it. There is cost involved. Yeah. Like for the photo matching, the companies will give us a price if they can't match it and if they can match it. So that's how it works on photo matching. A lot of what we have guys internally here that'll look at it. I look at some of the stuff, and just to make sure that the use is right, that the fonts on the team name and the team number are correct, because you know there's times where you know they didn't make as many extras back in the you know in the 60s and 70s of that kind of stuff, but you know in the 80s you could get quote authentic jerseys, which makes it a little more difficult. But yeah, we have people that'll take a look at this to make sure that the use is right, that the fonts are right, that everything checks out, because on the game jerseys they're a little bit different than the ones, especially football, they're really small now, they're really tight. And you know, some of these guys have crotch pieces, Reggie White, Gilbert Brown, some of those linemen, so which are, of course, an extra thing they have to get done. So there's a lot of things on the game jerseys that are different than the ones you would typically find.
Tony, is there anything that people think might be really valuable and they contact you guys and it's like, I'm so sorry to tell you this, but...
Yeah, a lot of it is we'll get guys with having these great baseball names. You know, I've got Ted Williams, Joe DiMaggio, and these great baseball names. And they're like, they must be worth a ton. And they're not, because a lot of these guys in the 80s and 90s signed a lot of autographs. So there's times where, you know, Willie Mays autographs you think would be worth tons of money. It's like a $300 autograph on a ball, because they just signed so much. So a lot of times it's the baseball Hall of Famers that are very, very common, that people think would be worth a little more than they actually
and
are.
Personalized isn't good either, correct?
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, personalized usually takes it down 25%. Now, some players, you know, that will put these crazy inscriptions. Pete Rose was notorious. He signed more than anybody, but he was the greatest marketer in our industry, probably, that he would sign, I broke up the Beatles, I bet on baseball, I killed JFK, that kind of thing.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, he would basically, if he was being paid, he would write whatever you wanted within reason, nothing crazy. But, yeah, typically, hey, if it's personalized, it does affect it.
We only got 1 minute, Tony. Give us your phone number if people have something cool.
Anything, if you have any questions, appraisals, anything, 214-409-1997. Email tonyg@ha.com. And, you know, if you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to help you guys out.
Wow.
My favorite autograph that a famous person signed might be worth a lot, might be worth... Remember Jay Johnson, our anchor? You know this story. Ran into Mickey Mantle. Hammered in a bar in Florida. I said, hi, I'm Jay Johnson. Can I get your autograph of this ball? He wrote, to Jay Johnson, F you, Mickey Mantle.
Yes, he would do that.
Tony Giese, so great having you on. We're going to do it again, okay, my brother?
All right. Thank you so much, guys. Have a great day. Thanks for having me on.
Tony Giese, Heritage Auctions. Give him a call, 214-409-1997, or give us a call. Cheese Curtain Nick, good having you here.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, everybody. Enjoy this beautiful day. See ya.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.